The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it yourself?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came up upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instructions, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. There's such a large chunk of the gospel, of the 4 gospels, that is dedicated to how should we live? How should we treat each other? How should we relate to each other and relate to God? And it's such a central part of Christ's message. It's not the only part. Jesus isn't just a morality preacher. He is that, but it goes way before that. It's way more transcendental than just morality. However, it's a central piece. It's an important piece, and it's not the one that we can kind of gloss over. Oh yeah, yeah, Jesus said we should love each other, treat each other real nice, and yeah, if you kind of do that, you're check. No, that's not how it works. Because how we treat each other defines who we are. It defines what kind of an individual I am. And it defines it on the scale of goodness and evil. And that's a grayscale. And we're constantly shifting back and forth. And that's why we have confession, and that's why, as well, we can have ups and downs in any given moment. Now, there's this all has to do with morality. Has to do with the good. What is good in this life? There's I'm just a brief recap of other material we've talked about here before. Goodness is part of the essence of God, and it's this summary of love that we have for each other. And if we focus on goodness, but we ignore other aspects of who God is and who we should be, then it becomes a caricature. The 4 areas were goodness, truth, beauty, and communion or unity. Those are 4 out of the 5 transcendentals. But when we have goodness without truth, and when the goodness becomes, we're just a social worker. And we become easily susceptible to ideologies. We see that today. Easy. Just take about 0.8 seconds and you'll come up with an example. But then we also have, when you focus all on truth and you don't have goodness in your heart, well, then we become a rigid ideologue, and we won't lift a finger to help anyone else. And you can spend 0.8 seconds and you'll kind of up in your head all kinds of examples in that direction too. And those, it's primarily left and right in politics today, but not exclusively left and right. But that's kind of how it goes. And then there's beauty and communion. We'll talk about those some other time. But this one, this gospel right here, our Lord is speaking about goodness. So the parable, this scholar of the law, he comes up and he's got some kind of a question because he's testing Jesus, but at the same time he's got like a question that he wants backing on. To go back to the discussion he had with his confreres, and he was in some kind of debate about, because they're all in agreement about the law and how you should love the Lord, your God, all your heart, all your being, all your strength, all your mind. And then they got caught on this one, your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor is the question he asked for Jesus. Because the way he posits it, it's almost like, I want to know who my neighbor is, because God says we have to love him with all your strength, all your might, and love him as myself. But if they're not my neighbor, well, then I don't have to do that. So who is my neighbor and who is not? That's the question of this scribe that comes to him, someone well-versed in the law. He's very anchored in truth. He knows the right answers. He just gave Jesus one, and Jesus said, yeah, yep, that's right. You got it. Do those, and you will live. But this question, though, is getting at him. Who counts and who doesn't count? Who's my neighbor and who's not? Now, Jesus doesn't just go head on and just and tell him, okay, you know what? What's going on in your head? It's because you're too anchored in truth and not enough in goodness, and you got to get get yourself sorted out. He does it more gently than that. He tells a parable. That way, this gentleman can, in a certain sense, figuratively speaking, go on a journey that will help him open up his mind and open up his heart, so that maybe he doesn't understand it perfectly, the law. And maybe his heart isn't living it to the extent he thinks he is. So this traveler, this man fell victim as a robber because he was going from Jerusalem way up on high, the heavenly city, the place of God's temple, where he can worship and praise and be with God all day long, and he's going down to Jericho. And you'll remember in Scripture, Jericho is in a certain sense the stand-in for hell. It's at the lowest level on earth. It is hot. It is where sin abounds. It is where the Israelites came in and pummeled it really good when they first came in from their 40 years in the desert. They destroyed it and now it's kind of rebuilt itself. But anytime, especially in the New Testament, when Jericho shows up, it's not a place you should be. You should be leaving Jericho, going away from Jericho, going up to Jerusalem. But this man decided, I'm going to leave Jerusalem and go down to Jericho. He's on a bad path. He's making bad decisions. He is not living a good life. And this is going from good to bad to worse. And guess what happens when you decide to walk down that kind of path? The robbers come and get you. And they take away the good things you've got, your wealth. They beat you up. They pummel you. That's what sin does. It robs us of our dignity, of our goodness. It robs us of our peace. We end up with scars on us, spiritually, even physically, or psychologically. And that's what happened to this guy. He got what he deserves because he chose it. Now, along comes, as Jesus tells the story, but at this point, his listeners are going, yeah, he should have known better. He got what it is like, and we, the righteous, we're staying up here in Jerusalem. We're not going down to Jericho. And then Jesus said, there happened to be a priest, and he uses this really unique word here, going down that road. That's what it says right here. The priest is going down. Well, oh boy, oh no. And there's a Levite also doing the same thing. And both of them go past this guy, this beat up, our friend, beat up there. And they go by on the other side. And they don't touch him because, hey, we're high-minded. We've got service to do in the church, in the synagogue. And if we contaminate ourselves and become ritually impure by touching the blood of this guy, we can't serve God. So you know what? We're taking the high road. And they might have even thought that they were, quote, going up to Jerusalem by doing that. But what Jesus is pointing out is that they're going down. It's become corrupted. It's becoming brittle. They've got things in the reverse order. Their hearts aren't open, and their heads are locked in like a vice grip on these principles in the wrong order. Because you should serve God, yes. But then, a Samaritan traveler is not going down to Jerusalem or down to Jericho. He's traveling. He's on a journey. And in Scripture, we always should be always understanding these things, yes, in a more of a literal sense, but also in like the figurative senses too. It's like he's going on a journey. He's seeking something. He's going, he's trying, he's got a mission that he's on. The Samaritans were not the part of the chosen people. They're half-breeds, sorry the expression, but that's what they were, and they had their own kind of worship, which is kind of off-kilter. That's another homily there. But this guy, he's searching, he's seeking, he's on a journey. In a certain sense, you could say he's looking for God. He's striving to find purpose and meaning in his life, and he comes across this gentleman, and what does he do? We heard everything that he did. He gives, he heals, he rescues, he cares for him, he provides, he follows up to the guy who was getting what he deserved. And that's when Jesus says, which one of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? Which one was the neighbor to sin's victim? Jesus is turning the initial question inside out. The scribe wanted to know, who is my neighbor and who is not? Because my neighbor, yes, I'll do this for him, but who is not my neighbor, I won't. And Jesus is saying, that's not the question you should be asking. You should be asking yourself, how do you become the neighbor to that person? Because that's what it means to love with all your heart, all your being, all your strength, and all your mind. How should we become neighbor to someone who's getting what they deserve? How should we become neighbor to someone who is in need? Our Lord, in other moments, through the divine mercy, St. Faustina divine mercy, he revealed to her a real sense of what is mercy. His mercy, God's mercy, is to give what we need, give to us the love and healing that we need but don't deserve. That's the boat we're all in, every single one of us. There's love that we need and don't deserve. And what our Lord, through this parable, is striving to do is to try to help us open our heart up so that we can recognize that there are people in our lives who, yeah, they painted themselves in a corner through their actions, through their decisions, and their offenses against us. But they need our love. They don't deserve it, but they need it. We can take this whole parable and apply it on a national level, and you can think, okay, well, here, let's talk about immigration if you wanted to. We won't get real political about it, but yeah, what's our duty? What does it mean to be neighbor to someone who's traveled 2,000 miles to come up here to try to strive and find a better life? Maybe they're broken a bunch of laws in the way. What does it mean to be a neighbor? I'm not going to propose a concrete answer. That's not my expertise. And what does it mean to, sure, uphold the integrity of the country and the values, and so, yeah, it's a very, very complicated question, but we can't ignore the question of what does it mean to be a neighbor to that person as a country. But we can't let ourselves off the hook and start complaining, yeah, well, the government should be doing this and that, and if I was in charge of it, and then we walk away and we don't lift a finger. We have to be doing the work in our own lives, and usually for most of us has nothing to do with the border. It has to do with your own family members and being a neighbor to them, and your sister who you have had a falling out with, or who's really messed up their life. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. It was Matt Fradd was interviewing Rod Dreher. It was a great interview. It didn't quite finish yet, but he was speaking about how he was such a hardcore conservative, that the line between good and evil is between the right and the left, and I'm on the right side, and we're the good guys and they're the bad guys, and he was so into that, and was as this conservative commentator and his convert to Catholicism and all that, but he found his life broken through situations with his family and his health and his marriage fell apart. This is all in the podcast. I'm not talking about him behind his back. And through that whole process, he discovered what it means to experience mercy. And in his own family, his dad had pretty much rejected him, because he was a weird bookworm, and his dad was a good old boy from down in Louisiana. He lived out in the country and lived in God's country. And his dad had pretty much rejected him and was killing him. It was such a burden on him, but he knows that I've got to be a neighbor to my own dad. And even though we've got this rejection here, I'm going to be here and I'm going to take care of him in his old age and help him in his last days and love on him, even though he doesn't deserve it. And in doing so, in one key moment, you have to listen to the podcast to find out what it was. He found peace and reconciliation. And his dad asked for forgiveness for the ways in which he had rejected him as his son. He said it was the most healing thing. He doesn't believe in this crisp line running between the good guys and the bad guys anymore. He sees that we're all broken. We all need mercy. We all need love that we don't deserve, but we need. And to be a neighbor to someone is to give it to them. And that's what our Lord is inviting us to. It is an incredible journey to go on. It's very difficult. I hope that in some way you feel challenged by this in your personal life. Maybe in your policy views as well, possibly too. Yeah, that's. I'm not trying to get at that primarily. I'm trying to talk about your personal life, because that's what most defines who you are, and the way you actually live that out, not the policies that you would sign off on necessarily. Although those are related, those are connected. Let our Lord speak to you. Let Him talk to you about that. Who is He asking you to be a neighbor to? Give it a yes. There's only good that can come from that.